Now, it's disarmament week, and in South Sudan, efforts to disarm, demobilize, and also reintegrate former cabinet remain central to building lasting peace. The disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration program aims to help ex-combatant return to the civilian life while support communities hosting them and also reduce the risk of renewed conflicts.
Now we ask how much progress has been made and what challenges stand in the way. Now joining us is the Acting Executive Director of the National Disarmament, Demobilization and Reintegration Program, Wilson Lual Lual. He's also a DDR expert. Thank you, Wilson, for joining us on Radio Mirai this morning.
Thank you, Toby.
Okay. Can you help us understand the current mandates of the National Disarmament, Demobilization and Reintegration Commission and how it fits within the wider peace-building framework in South Sudan?
Thank you very much, Ellen, for inviting me to Mirai talk show this morning. In fact, today is a very important day for the disarmament community in the world, not only the disarmament commission in South Sudan. To be specific to your question, which I think we'll have to tackle before I go ahead to discuss the events of today, the mandate for the Disarmament, Demobilization and Reintegration Commission is to disarm, demobilize and reintegrate ex-combatants and members of armed groups into the civil societies of South Sudan. This is a mandate that was created back in 2005 during the peace agreement between Sudan and South Sudan, and it was again revitalized during the current peace agreement between the opposition and the government, which is the ARCIS, signed in 2018 in Sudan and Ethiopia.
Okay. So currently, what programs are in place to pursue DDR as a peace-building mechanism?
Supposedly, the current mission is supposed to have embarked in the disarmament of these armed groups.
Right.
But as you people are aware about the current state of affairs in South Sudan, the program was anchored properly on the implementation of the transitional security arrangement, which has not now taken shape. The commission is one of the very key security mechanisms that should play a very greater role in the implementation of transitional security arrangement in South Sudan. But as we speak, unfortunately, no even a milestone has been covered in terms of program implementation. What has been done so far is the appointment of the commission, which is made from the parties to the agreement, and the establishment of the state offices and the headquarters. Not properly established, but at least activated to work.
Okay.
So currently, the commission has not taken any activities. It has only set up the commission, as I mentioned. It has developed the basic working documents that I repeatedly say in any meeting, that the commission is ready in terms of preparation. These basic documents include the policy document, the program document, the strategic documents, and the other frameworks that should guide the commission in program implementation, like reinsertion framework, reintegration framework, public information framework, and the standard operating procedures for the headquarters. Now, there is another document which is under development, the Community Violence Reduction Document. This is a document that is supposed to take care of disarmament and reintegration and reinsertion of other members who perpetuated violence within the communities in order to reduce the level of violence at the community level. So this document is underway and is almost complete.
Okay. And so what would you love to see the government and partners doing? Because you're saying that almost all the activities are not being done because of issues to do with funding and other issues.
Number one, number two, number three, and number five, things that the government and the partners is supposed to do is only one, which is funding.
Mm-hmm.
All the programs, the plannings, and everything is in place. But unfortunately, no money has been availed by the government and the partners internationally.
Okay.
I even tell you a very pragmatic example. In any DDR exercise that takes place worldwide, it is a responsibility of the of both the nation state and then the international community.
Right.
But as we speak, the UN mission that is currently in South Sudan has not been given by international community the responsibility to support the DDR program in South Sudan for some reasons. So that is also the same with the stakeholders and the national stakeholders. There's no funding that has been done, and that's why the commission is still in a very bad shape. I tell you now, the ex-combatants are stuck at the training centers. And these are people that have voluntarily decided to come out of arms. They are not ready to fight. They don't want to fight. So why keep them at the transitional facilities or training centers or cantonments for this long, almost 4 years now? For what reason?
Mm-hmm.
Simple reason is no money.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Wilson, looking at what you put clearly, you know, the ex-competent that, you know, that strengthened at the site, and that no fund, and things are not working well, and you guys cannot do anything even one milestone. Now, how that can have impact on your programs and the plans, the strategic plans, the program that you have worked on place, supposed to be implemented, what impact that it have on it?
Not only does it have a negative impact on our programs, but it equally has a negative impact on the overall security situation of South Sudan.
Mm.
First of all, you ask yourself, what is the aim of having established the DDR Commission? What is the meaning of it?
Mm-hmm.
The meaning of it is that this very DDR Commission has a responsibility of preventing violence. Preventing violence.
Right.
You see? Now, because of absence of this exercise, you have seen the level of violence in South Sudan spread everywhere. Because this violence is being perpetuated using arms. They are not using sticks to fight. They are using guns. And the fact that we have not supported the commission to be able to do the mandate, that's why you see the violence spread all over. So negatively, it is affecting the programs of the DDR commission. That's why you are seeing the ex-combatants are stuck in the training centers and some are at the cantonment sites. And that's why you see the emergence of the armed youth everywhere. The recent armed youth that was created in Jongle, they call it Red Belt.
The Red Belt, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have Munyumiji in Eastern Equatoria.
Mm-hmm.
You have White Army in Jongle and Upper Nile. And you have Tershwang in Unity State. You have Galweng in Lakes. You have Tidba in Abyei. You have Tidweng in Twitch. And you have Arrow Boys in Western Equatoria. All these emergence of armed groups is simply because of lack of implementation of DDR programs.
Mm.
Because the DDR program has got the components that should arrest the situation of these youth recruiting into violence. Because there is what we call community violence reduction. It has got some programs that can engage the youth and disengage them from arms. Because after all, why do you need arms?
Mm.
You need arms for economic reasons. You need arms for security reasons. You need arms for other reasons, political reasons. But if we have already signed a peace agreement, that means the issues of political issues are addressed. What remains are the issues of economic and security. So why should I give you my gun when somebody will come and take my cows, take my daughter, take my son. You have to provide security first. For me, somebody will come and take my cows. How do I live on cows? Now you are taking my cows are being taken away. Where's my life? So because of those reasons, that's why they keep the guns. And if the DDR Commission is allowed to do the job, to first of all prevent violence and support the transitional security arrangement for security arrangement to take the job up, the job of security and protection of civilians and properties, then the youth will relapse back to production.
Okay.
Even these issues of economic situation that has engulfed the country would be the issues of history.
Now, let's look at the disarmament can be attractive if people are convinced that they are safe and fighting is not profitable as DDR. What challenges do you encounter in advancing the disarmament agenda?
Come again? Can you paraphrase your program?
Yeah, I'm saying with the program for disarmament, disarmament itself can be attractive if people are convinced that they are safe or their security is in place, just like you mentioned, that their security is in place. So what challenges do you encounter in advancing the disarmament agenda or programs?
There are very numerous challenges. One of them, as I mentioned before, the issue of finances. Then the other one are the issue of political will for us to do this one honestly. Because currently now, look at the current situation. If I go now to a somebody that is holding a gun and tell him to give up the guns, he will ask me 10 questions, which I will not have an answer. One of them will be, where is my security? Who will take care of my security? I'm living on this gun. I go rob. Now if you take away the guns, where do I live? Because I cannot farm. Somebody will come and attack me in my farm and all this. So one of these challenges is to provide, to have peace. To have peace, which comes from political decision among the people. And then this peace means the deployment of the forces. Because you cannot take the guns from one community and then another community will come and attack the other community. So you will have to have the forces that are responsible for their mandates. Because there are youth now that are protecting their land from the foreign aggressors. Take, for example, from Ugandan border, Ethiopia border, Sudan border. The youth that are there are protecting their land. Now you go and tell them you bring your guns. They will say, okay, what about these foreign people coming to take our land tomorrow? What will happen? Yeah. So you need to deploy the army to protect their land.
Right.
The youth will complain that now you want to take, our cows will be taken. Mm-hmm. What do you need to do? You need to protect the police, which is the livestock police for this matter in the areas of Toch and farm places.
Okay. Now, there is a challenge with children who are involved in conflict-related activities, either as combatants or attached to armed groups. Can you tell us a bit about efforts that have been made to take them off these groups?
Yeah, a very significant progress has been made on this area. There is an action plan that was drawn by the government of South Sudan in partnership with international partners, and that has gained very good traction because no reports of recruitment of children that has been from last year up to mid of this year until we recently received reports of children that have been found in the areas of Nasser to have been taken from here to the field. But these children, after realizing that they are not fit for combat, they have reported to the nearest communities, and the communities reported them back, and The commission has facilitated their return to Juba, so all of them are currently in Juba.
Okay, how many were they in number, and when exactly did this happen?
There were 70, but all of them, I think, have come back.
Okay. Yeah. And how about the host community?
And actually, the reason of taking them was not an intentional recruitment. It was something related to punishment, because the youth were perpetuating a lot of hostile activities inside here. But then some institutions decided to make that those decisions, which ended up not good decisions, but
at last it was corrected. Okay, so they were taken from Juba to Nasir?
Yes, they were taken from Juba to Nasir as a punishment for these youth.
Okay, they were taken back by the authorities here in Juba?
Yes, but they are now back.
Okay, and reported back to their families?
Yes, some of them reported to their families. Okay. Those who are underage. Mm-hmm. Reported to their families.
Okay. Yeah. And how about host communities? We know that stigma against children and indeed even adults have been involved in conflict activities. What is being done to prepare communities to host them for integration?
Like I said before, that a lot of significant progress has been made on this area. The training has been conducted to the perpetrators. I mean the army commanders that are responsible for the recruitment of these youth from both parties, warring parties, both the government and the opposition. And then some community leaders, beginning from youth, chiefs, and other opinion leaders have been brought to Juba for training. Commissioners have been brought to Juba for this training. And other groups have been organized, that is the Child Protection Network group, have been trained and set up to be able to keep monitoring and keep an eye on any activity that takes place. So should any recruitment happen, they will definitely report to the DDR Commission, and then the DDR Commission will swiftly now intervene to disengage these communities, these young people from... Mm-hmm. from being in the army to their communities.
Okay. And finally, what message would you like to share with the government, authorities, local communities, and former combatants themselves about the role of DDR in building sustainable peace in South Sudan?
My message is only one, and it's very clear. Mm-hmm. We can't have South Sudan with arms in the hands of unauthorized people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that we can have our country back to us is when we have the arms only in the hands of authorized people. I mean to say the security organs that have been authorized to keep the arms only, but not anybody in the country.
Okay.
You have seen the prevalence of economic development, economic downgrading now. Everybody is crying about this economic situation biting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so? We have a very fertile land. We have resources underground. We have large and vast land. Why is it because? Simply because we have engaged ourselves in guns and forgot about production. So the only way that we can reclaim our country from this rampant insecurity is when we have taken guns away from the hands of unauthorized people and impact on production.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Wilson Lual, for joining us on Radio Mirai this morning.
Thank you very much, Ellen Toby. I'm happy, actually, to have joined you on this occasion of the Disarmament Week. Actually, it was yesterday that the world set in New York to converge on this Disarmament Week, and I'm supposed to be part of that community,
mm-hmm.
but for one reason or another, I have joined them also alternatively here to discuss the week. It's a week that the United Nations General Assembly set aside to remind the world about the peace mm-hmm. and security through disarmament. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Wilson Lual, the disarmament, demobilization and reintegration expert, also the acting executive director of the National DDR Commission. Thank you for sharing your insights on Radio Mirai this morning.